Ever heard the one about the retro gaming console that never actually existed?
Oh, this should be good.
Yeah, buckle up, because today we're taking a deep dive into a wild story about ambition, deception, and that enduring love of retro gaming.
I think what I find so fascinating about these stories is how they really highlight the fine line between, enthusiasm and deception, especially in the world of online community.
And we're diving deep into Smoke and Mirrors, The Rise and Fall of a Serial Entrepreneur by Mike James, specifically Chapter 11.
Okay.
It's a cautionary tale that reads like a thriller full of twists and turns, and I'm telling you, more red flags than a bullfighting ring.
The term antipreneur might be new to some of our listeners. It basically refers to someone who has all the charisma and drive of an entrepreneur, but channels it into ventures that are, well, often misleading or outright scams.
Right, and that's putting it mildly. Okay, so our story centers around this guy, Mike, a charismatic figure who starts as a retro gaming enthusiast, hosting a podcast called, what was it? Retro Gaming Roundup, I think.
Right.
Sounds harmless enough, right? Just a guy talking about old video games.
Sure, seems innocent enough, but it's a classic example of someone, tapping into that growing power of niche communities online, building trust, becoming an authority in that world, especially for a dedicated group like retro gaming enthusiasts.
Absolutely. And Mike, he's a natural. He seamlessly integrates the podcast into like this whole business,
Yeah.
going as far as acquiring the molds for the Atari Jaguar console.
Oh, wow.
Now, I don't know if you remember the Atari Jaguar. It
Vaguely, yeah.
wasn't exactly, a commercial success.
Most people remember it as a bit of a flop, actually, notorious for its well, complex hardware and a lackluster game library.
Exactly. But Mike, he sees potential, a spark, maybe dollar signs, who knows? But
Yeah.
he envisions this new console, one that would capitalize on the nostalgia for retro gaming, but, with all the bells and whistles of modern technology.
Yeah.
This is where the story takes its first, let's call it an unexpected turn, with the announcement of the Retro VGS.
Right, the Retro VGS. This initial venture, though, it was well, it was fraught with challenges from the get-go. Mike's big promises, they were kind of overshadowed by this lack of, concrete evidence. There were whispers of technical difficulties, a crowdfunding campaign that went, well, let's just say it didn't go well.
Yeah, not great.
And there was no working prototype.
And if those weren't enough red flags, Mike's initial engineer, John Carlson, he bails. He walks away from the project.
Really?
Yeah, imagine being so disillusioned you'd rather leave than like see it through.
Wow, that's going to tell you something. Carlson leaving, it was a huge blow to the project, at least in terms of credibility. It showed that behind all of Mike's confidence, there were, serious underlying issues.
But Mike, ever the optimist, or maybe the master illusionist, as we'll see, he doesn't give up. He decides on a complete rebrand, a clean slate. And so the Coloco Chameleon is born.
The Coloco Chameleon. Using the Coloco brand, that was, well, intentional or not, it was a smart move. I mean, Coloco, with its legacy, the ColecoVision, it brings back a wave of nostalgia for a lot of people.
Genius, right?
Yeah.
By aligning his project with this beloved brand, this blast from gaming's past, Mike tapped into a gold mine of goodwill, of anticipation. He promises a console with a lower price point, a working prototype this time, even hints at these partnerships with major game developers. It's like he's selling a dream, a return to the good old days of gaming, but with a modern twist.
And this is where critical thinking becomes so important. It's easy to get swept up in the excitement, especially when someone is so good at playing to our desires, our nostalgia.
Like dangling a pixelated carrot on a joystick,
Exactly.
Everything seems to be falling into place for Mike and this Coleco Chameleon. He's drumming up excitement online, building the hype, especially within the retro gaming community.
Yeah.
But, and you knew there was a but coming, right? Beneath the surface, those cracks are starting to show.
And isn't it interesting how the online community, the same one that can be so instrumental in building something up, can also play a key role in its downfall?
Oh, absolutely. And that's where we'll pick up next time. We'll delve into the rising tide of skepticism, the emergence of these like digital detectives determined to uncover the truth, and the pivotal role they would play in the Coleco Chameleon saga. Remember that wave of excitement we were talking about, the one building around the Coleco Chameleon?
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, like in any good mystery where there's hype, there's bound to be a healthy dose of skepticism, right?
Absolutely. The online world, for all its power to amplify outages, and build communities, it's also incredibly adept at sniffing out inconsistencies.
That's what I find fascinating about the online world. It's almost like a collective consciousness.
Right. And in Mike's case, those inconsistencies were starting to pile up faster than extra lives in an 8-bit platformer.
I'm telling you, they were everywhere.
Leading the charge was this guy, Carl Williams, a journalist and blogger known for, his no-nonsense approach to the retro gaming scene. He started scrutinizing Mike's claims, pointing out the lack of concrete evidence, questioning the feasibility of all the technology he was promising. Classic case of someone asking the tough questions, refusing to let nostalgia overshadow their journalistic integrity.
Good for him. I respect that.
And what's interesting is how Mike responds to all this skepticism. Instead of addressing those concerns head on, he doubles down, becoming even more defensive and evasive. He publicly dismisses Williams's claims, accusing him of spreading misinformation, trying to sabotage the project.
This is where it starts to get a little suspicious, right?
It's a pretty common tactic. You see it all the time with people who are caught in a lie.
I've seen it a few times. Not only that, but Mike pulls a move right out of How to Not Win Friends and Influence People. He starts sharing private emails publicly, claiming they prove his legitimacy and silence his critics.
This tactic, it backfires spectacularly. Those emails, far from exonerating Mike, only raised more red flags. They revealed inconsistencies in his stories, exaggerated claims about partnerships, and a pattern of deflecting blame and making excuses. The very act of trying to control the narrative only seemed to unravel it further.
It's like that old saying, the lady doth protest too much, methinks. The more Mike tried to defend himself, the more suspicious his actions appeared. And the online community, initially divided, starts to coalesce around these inconsistencies. Forums buzz with speculation, blog posts dissect every statement Mike makes, and the Coleco Chameleon, once a symbol of this retro revival, begins to take on this murky aura of vaporware.
Yep, the internet does have a way of doing that. The truth, it has a way of seeping out, even when people try to bury it.
Absolutely. And this brings us to a pivotal moment in the story, the New York Toy Fair. For Mike, this was supposed to be his moment of triumph, a chance to silence the doubters once and for all by unveiling a working prototype. What unfolds instead is a series of increasingly bizarre events that only deepen the mystery surrounding the Coleco Chameleon.
Okay, I'm hooked. Tell me more.
The Toy Fair becomes this weird microcosm of the entire saga. The anticipation is palpable. Everyone, from journalists to industry insiders to eager fans, they're all clamoring to see if Mike can deliver on his promises. But even here, at this make-or-break event, Mike remains incredibly evasive. He limits access to the supposed prototype, only allowing brief glimpses, carefully controlling who gets to see what.
Doesn't sound very transparent.
Exactly. And this lack of transparency, this reluctance to subject his creation to proper scrutiny, it only fueled the suspicions. It's one thing to make grand claims, but quite another to back them up with tangible evidence.
It's a little like promising the world a golden egg, but only showing people the shell.
Yeah, you're right. And those few people who did get a glimpse of the prototype, well, things weren't adding up. The console on display, the one being touted as this revolutionary Coleco Chameleon, looked suspiciously familiar.
I'm starting to get a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, me too. Word starts spreading that the prototype resembles a Super Nintendo console crammed inside the shell of an Atari Jaguar, a Frankensteinian creation dubbed the Essnessina Jag by the online community. It's a revelation that, while humorous in retrospect, speaks to the growing sense of disbelief surrounding the project.
I can't believe it. Here's the mastermind behind the Coleco Chameleon, the supposed technological marvel, resorting to what looks like a high-tech game of shell games.
You said it. And yet, even with the skepticism reaching a fever pitch, with the evidence seemingly stacked against him, Mike doubles down once again. He pushes forward with plans for a Kickstarter campaign, determined to bring the Coleco Chameleon to the masses, even if it's the last thing he does.
Wow. That's commitment, or maybe delusion, I'm not sure which. Talk about sticking to your guns, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But, as we'll see, the road to crowdfunding success is paved with more than just good intentions and clever marketing. It requires something that's been sorely lacking in the Coleco Chameleon saga: tangible results. So we've got Mike, undeterred by the Toy Fair fiasco, barreling towards a Kickstarter launch.
Right.
He's still spinning this grand vision of the Coleco Chameleon, even promising a professionally produced video showcasing the console in all its glory.
And that video, that was supposed to be the big game changer, right?
Exactly. But this is where the story takes on this frenetic energy, almost farcical at times, as Mike scrambles to maintain the illusion, even as the walls are closing in. He's juggling promises to potential backers, coordinating with game developers eager to be part of this supposed retro resurgence, all while seemingly no closer to having a demonstrably functional prototype.
You know, it's like watching someone try to juggle chainsaws while standing on a unicycle over a pool of gasoline.
Good analogy. And let's not forget Lee, the mysterious engineer who only ever seems to communicate through Mike.
Ah, yes. Lee, the phantom engineer, always just around the corner from solving whatever technical hurdle has cropped up. He becomes a central figure in Mike's excuses, a convenient scapegoat for the constant delays and unfulfilled promises.
It's like a digital version of "the dog ate my homework." Only in this case, it's more like the engineer is wrestling with the quantum mechanics of cartridge compatibility.
That's a pretty good description.
And the online community, those digital detectives we talked about, they're piecing together every inconsistency, every broken promise, every hastily Photoshopped picture of the supposed prototype.
And it's not just the online community. Even some of the people who had been working with Mike, like those game developers, they were starting to get suspicious.
Absolutely. And that's where the final nail in the Coleco Chameleon's coffin appears, in the form of those infamous prototype pictures that Mike releases. Remember, these are supposed to be the images that finally silence the doubters, the visual proof that this thing actually exists.
You mean the ones that were supposed to make everyone say, wow, it really is real?
Exactly. But instead of showcasing cutting-edge technology, the pictures reveal what appears to be a haphazardly assembled circuit board housed inside a clear Jaguar shell.
You're kidding, right?
Nope. And it doesn't take long for the online community to identify the circuit board. Prepare yourself, because this is where it gets really meta. They discover that the board belongs to a CCTV DVR capture card. Not exactly the stuff of gaming legend.
The DVR capture card? I'm speechless.
It's like showing up to a knife fight with a spork.
Ooh.
You got to admire the audacity in a weird way, but also you have to wonder, what was Mike thinking? Was he so caught up in his own fabrication that he thought he could pull it off?
It's a question that has puzzled many observers of this saga. Was it sheer delusion? A desperate attempt to salvage a sinking ship? Or perhaps, as some have speculated, a calculated ploy to generate publicity? Even if it was of the negative variety, whatever the motivation, the consequences were swift and absolute.
The DVR capture card reveal was like popping a digital soap bubble. Eli, the game developer who'd been working on a pack-in game for the Chameleon, publicly calls out Mike, expressing his anger and disappointment at having been misled.
It was pretty clear that he felt betrayed.
It's a crucial turning point. Developers who had been tentatively on board suddenly distanced themselves, unwilling to be associated with a project that was rapidly becoming synonymous with deception.
The tide is turning.
And then there's Scott, one of Mike's former business partners, someone who had believed in the project initially, but had grown increasingly disillusioned with Mike's behavior. He decides to take matters into his own hands. Remember Chris Cardillo, the owner of the Coleco brand?
Oh, yeah. He's the one who gave Mike the rights to use the Coleco name.
Exactly. Scott contacts Cardillo directly, informing him of the situation, the lack of a genuine prototype, the mounting evidence of deception. Cardillo, realizing the extent to which the Coleco name was being leveraged for a project shrouded in doubt, takes decisive action.
And what action was that?
Cardillo demands that Mike turn over the prototypes for independent verification. It's a simple request, one that any legitimate project should have been able to accommodate.
Well, that should have been a no-brainer.
You'd think, but the prototypes never materialize. Mike, once a vocal presence in the online community, goes silent. The Coleco Chameleon, the console that never really was, disappears into the annals of gaming history as a cautionary tale about the perils of hype, the allure of nostalgia, and the power of online communities to both build up and tear down.
I gotta say, this is one of the most fascinating cautionary tales about the internet I've heard in a long time.
It's a story that reminds us that even in the digital age, with all its smoke and mirrors, the truth has a way of revealing itself, often with the help of a passionate community armed with keyboards and a healthy dose of skepticism. So the next time you encounter a product promising to revolutionize the world, remember the Coleco Chameleon and ask yourself, am I seeing a genuine innovation or just a cleverly disguised DVR capture card?
That's a great question.
It's a question worth asking, especially in an era where the lines between reality and fabrication can seem as pixelated as an 8-bit sprite.
Yeah, definitely.
That's it for this deep dive. We've journeyed through the tangled wires and broken promises of the Coleco Chameleon saga. Until next time. Stay curious, stay skeptical, and keep an eye out for those red flags. Because sometimes the most captivating stories are the ones that teach us the most valuable lessons.